But I have been consistent and devout about my pro-life voting and voting on these bills the past 3 years. I've believed in all the authors. I have believed in the votes, and I still believe the directions in pro-life bills. The U.S. Supreme Court made the decision to move the abortion rights to the state level, which is peeled an onion on the details of abortion, showing layers and layers of such a difficult topic that I wasn't prepared for. I wasn't prepared to debate this topic in specificity, much less in 2 weeks' time. We are moving too fast for fruitful discussion. Rushed decisions make bad decisions. Forced decisions nearly always removes discernment and fruitfulness. And I know that we are going to vote on this bill, and I know we're going to keep working. We're going to bring that fruitfulness and discernment together, and I believe in all my colleagues. This month, the U.S. Supreme Court forced all Hoosiers, all of you, to dig deep, to find out where you are. You have to peel the onion. How do we all as Indiana truly feel? But now, 150 of us honored legislators, we have to think and pray and discern. And while the rest of you guys get to do that privately, we get to do it on hundreds of votes these past 2 weeks. And so with that, the last 2 weeks have changed me profoundly. I have moved in my ideology in ways I never imagined. And I'm now open to applaud and criticism on both sides. And that's okay. But here's what I know for now, and I hope that you can respect it. I am a Hoosier woman that is just months off from being a reproductive Hoosier, meaning hot flashes I'm still getting used to. But I have spent the last part of my life, most part of my lifetime, with the ability to get pregnant, willfully or unwillfully, really leaving maybe only one or two of my 150 colleagues that this bill will actually affect their decision making. Each one of us legislators could be raped. We could have a piece of our soul ripped from us and be violated. But only 23% of us can know what it's like to fear that that horrific moment could create a baby. In this bill, we have to think about those ramifications. I believe in the sanctity of life, and I am a devout Christian. I believe that the Lord knew every hair on my head and is my path on this earth. And no one can convince me otherwise. And no one can tell me I'm a hypocrite for where I stand, because I know where I'm at with the Lord, and I know he's proud of me. So I always say that those that persecute me for this middle ground that I think some Republican women, a lot of Republican women are, I will always say, I'll see you in heaven, because I know I'll be there. I am a pro-life woman, and I believe that we should absolutely protect the unborn and the children in the womb. I believe that when the fetus can sustainably live as a human being alone, sharing without my body and my blood, giving them life, viability. And even if that viability is minuscule, I believe that we have a right to save that unborn baby, and I believe that we must legislate to protect that life. But I am as equally a pro-woman, pro-choice Republican woman. And I believe that no government should take away a woman's ability for safe medical care during an unwanted, unplanned pregnancy. I think she should be able to choose her life and wellness during an emotional, traumatic time. Her ability to evaluate her circumstances, those circumstances will be the baby's circumstances. I feel like we have to let her decide the best ways in these early stages of pregnancies, equip her with the best information to choose life. Let her know that we in the General Assembly are trying to wrap our hands around them and be ready if they're ready to choose life. And I am proud of Senate Bill 2, and I'm proud of the authors that got us there. But I also believe no government should intervene and impede on the medical profession's ability to counsel women during thousands of scenarios of pregnancy. We have spent the past weeks trying to legislate what is perceived as bad apple doctors. And the staff, that's so insulting to the thousands of Hoosiers that are practicing that don't deserve to be questioned for their decision-making and counseling to women in a very traumatic time. As a hospital administrator, and with my team working tirelessly to recruit physicians and practitioners to Indiana, to rural Indiana, I'm petrified. I'm petrified that we're not seeing the forest for the trees, the testimony of the doctors, the OB deserts, the IU residents and fellows that overwhelmingly said, hold on, I may not accept your offer, Anne. I may not stay here in Indiana. I'm concerned. I feel like we have double standards. I sat back and I realized, especially in my market, that 33% of the physicians in my market that I adore, that take care of my patients, take care of all of you every day, I adore them. But they're not Christian faith. They're of different faith. And I could not do without those physicians in this state. We need to understand. We make them go over their medical practices, all their medical beliefs all the time, but they do it because they want to keep us healthy. They want to keep us alive. I believe that religious ideology has no place in the legislative process. I believe government free from religion, separation of church and state. And I believe this because if the tables were turned and the political tide changes, which history from the day one will repeat, it will. And I'm nervous that it may be sooner than later, and I hope not because I believe in our Republican Party. But I would be horrified to have another religion or ideology pressed upon me and my constitutional rights. A constitutional right that we proudly sat here loudly and pointed out during COVID, my body and my choice. And I respected that. I respected that I voted for those rights. I believe we must listen to all women who have had an abortion with the heart of Jesus. And we have to learn from them. We have to learn as a nation in Indiana how we failed them. We have failed. What services, what health care, what ways did we need to preemptively mitigate 8,400 women a year having to make this decision? And I have my time here in the next 2.5 years, because I'll be here. I will use all my strength and wisdom, and you can see I do believe both bodies know we need free and affordable access to birth control. I believe that not all women are celebrating getting abortions. I believe that the Lord Jesus would never call a woman a murderer, a pro-abortion, or a baby killer. I despise these words. I think we have to get rid of them. I think they're purposeful, and I think they're propaganda, and I don't think they're love. I think that the Lord's promise is for grace and kindness. And I believe if the Lord was here in this state house, I believe if he was at the abortion clinic, he would not be jumping to condemn these women. I think he would beeline to those broken women, those are emotional, exhausted, pregnant women that are making the hardest decision in her life. Where if anyone knows, and anyone who has worked in an ER or worked anywhere in the hospital, the larger amount of United States citizens that are in trauma are on their knees and praying. They may not have been praying one day in their life, but they're praying. They are praying at that abortion clinic, and I believe the Lord would show up with them. I think he would show up, and he would be okay if she maybe chose her life instead of the pregnancy. He'd show up with love and understanding and not condemnation, and I believe that in my mind. To my fellow Republicans, I am stand firm on your right to life theology. I respect you, and I respect that fundamental difference. Right to life accurately explains where you're at, and I want you to know that I love you and I believe in that. But after these 2 weeks, I am begging our Republican Party to review the word pro-choice or pro-life. I think we have to stop calling ourselves pro-life if it only means we have a priority list on life. I don't believe the Lord has a priority list on life. And I think that hurts. And I think I'm not alone in Indiana, and I think there are Republican women. I think there are all women that kind of think like I do. Okay, so even though I'm upset, I'm kind of hurt by the direction of this bill, I love you, I respect you, and I thank you for all my colleagues who have made me feel okay to tell you my heart. Mr. Speaker, you have truly showed the nation your leadership. You have set the bar in the nation on civility and kindness in one of the toughest legislative debates in our lifetimes, and I say thank you. To the authors and the committee chairs, I am so proud to be on your team. I am so proud of this House chamber. And I want the public to know this. We are all trying. We are all discerning. None of us are sleeping. None of us are doing well. We're walking around with knots in our house or in our stomachs. We have all been emotional, short, and unkind to our spouses, to our kids, to our friends, and each other these past 2 weeks, and we all apologize to them. Every one of us, 150, have cried this week, and we are all trying to do the will of the people while equally being true to our faith and our core beliefs. And here's what I will say. If anyone criticizes, banters, or disrespects any of my 149 colleagues after this session, I will say, you have the luxury of spewing opinions and beliefs in the jeep seats. You are not here in this house. While I paraphrase Teddy Roosevelt's speech from The Man in the Arena and my favorite Brian Brown highlighter book, it's not the critic who counts. It's not the one who points out how the strong one stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to us that are actually in the arena, whose faces are marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, and we come short again and again, because there is no effort without errors and shortcomings. But at the least, and the best in the who at the least best knows at the end of the triumph of true achievement, and at the worst, if one fails, we at least fail daring greatly. I thank you for your time, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative King to speak on the bill.